As our population ages, so too do conditions that can contribute to falls. What are the consequences of falls, and what measures can you incorporate into your life or the lives of others that can reduce their risk of serious injury and disability? Dr. Anne Monahan is medical director of the Day Hospital at the Elizabeth Riehr Health Center and also works at the Falls Clinic at the Elizabeth Riehr Health Center. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What is the yearly incidence of falls in the elderly in Canada?
Well, we know according to Health Canada research that falls are increasing in elderly people across Canada. And in fact, among community-dwelling older people over the age of 65, we know that one in three people will fall within the next year or so. Now, that those rates go up when you talk about people, for example, living in long-term care settings. So it rises to close to 50%, for example, among nursing home patients.
So that answers sort of my next question in terms of the where these falls occur, but when do they happen? Are there particular times of day or seasons that tend to, you see this more, events that are going on? What do you tend to see as the reasons why these falls occur?
Well, we know again from studies that close to 50% of falls are occurring in and around the home. And there does not appear to be, at least according to my knowledge anyway, any sort of time pattern or course in terms of times of year, although you might think that the winter is more associated with falls outdoors, of course, in icy and snowy conditions. But what we find in the vast majority of people that we deal with here is that many of the falls are occurring within the home.
What are some of the common factors that will contribute to falls in the home and, say, as opposed to in an institutional setting?
Well, many people think, and including medical professionals, in fact, that falls are the result of normal aging processes. And it is true that there are age-related factors related to falls, and these include things such as declines in vision, changes in how our bodies are able to perceive our position in space, changes in how our bodies control our balance and blood pressure. But age alone is not the only factor or even the overriding factor. If you look at the literature on falls, you would find something like 400 different variables cited, some more important than others, of course. Medications is a huge area, and we know that older people tend to be on a number of medications in many cases. We know that any recent change in medications can contribute to heightening one's falls risk, or even the number of medications you take. If you're taking more than four, you're at a heightened risk of falling. Other things that are important are chronic medical conditions. We know that those are increasing in prevalence in Canadians over the age of 65 as well, things like diabetes, stroke, Parkinson's disease. Any other disease process that can affect lower extremity function that can cause pain in the joints, for example, like garden variety osteoarthritis, consequences of other chronic conditions like stroke, as I mentioned, which can cause weakness in the legs. All of these factors have to be considered.
Now, say someone has a fall, what are some of the short and long-term consequences and considerations that have to be taken into account?
There are all kinds of consequences that we have to consider. In the immediate sense, there is a risk of serious injury, obviously. So we know that approximately 10 to 15% of falls can cause fracture. Among the more devastating fractures, of course, are hip fractures. And we know that hip fractures account for something like 40% of fall-related admissions to hospital. And as well, we have from research that up to 50% of the people who suffer hip fractures do not return to independent living. So falls can be associated with a higher risk of nursing home placement. On a personal level, they can be associated with declines in function. They can be associated with an increased use of medical services. And, you know, at the very basic level, falling can lead to fear of falling, and we know that if you fall once, you're more likely to fall again. This can lead to tremendous anxiety in people. In turn, this can cause social isolation. It can lead to people going out less and becoming more deconditioned and essentially setting off a kind of vicious cycle where they're even more prone to falling.
Now, how does the Falls Clinic approach the patient with respect to assessing, preventing, and rehabilitating patients who come through the center?
We have a full range of services available to people who come to our Falls Clinic. We actually direct ourselves to those seniors who are continuing to manage in the community independently, but who may have suffered one or more falls in the recent past, and who may be taking multiple medications, as I mentioned, who may also have concurrent balance difficulties, difficulties with their mobility, their exercise tolerance, that kind of thing. We have a registered nurse and registered practical nurse on hand, as well as myself, to oversee the medical problems. And we look at medications, critically, as one of the first steps. We also assess blood pressure because we know that older people can be affected by drops in their blood pressure when they stand, for example, from a lying down position, and this in turn can cause dizziness and can elevate their risk of falling. So we offer education around that on trying to minimize the consequences of these drops in blood pressure. And the focus of the program really is physiotherapy. And again, we have a full range of services. The physiotherapists we have can treat balance difficulties. We also look at activity tolerance and increasing stamina and strength in the legs in particular. So there's sort of a full range of physiotherapy available. We have other sort of peripheral disciplines as well that can become involved, such as occupational therapists to look at home safety. We have educational groups that teach people about different techniques related to falls prevention, that kind of thing. And I guess in turn, we send people home after an approximately eight-week stint with us with a home exercise program, and we would hope that they continue with such beyond their stay with us.
How well do they respond after they go through that eight-week course?
Well, we have studied this to some degree. In fact, in recent months, some of the staff connected with the Falls Clinic have conducted a small study of, I think it was 62 participants, past participants in the Falls Clinic. They did a six-month follow-up study, which looked at how these people had changed their lifestyle as a result of attending our clinic. And it seems that the vast majority are continuing, so they say, to pursue their home exercise program. They're feeling, in general, more confident about their abilities related to walking. They're going out more. They're feeling stronger and more secure. And we found as well that there was a close to 75% reduction in actual falls rate among those people. So we feel that we're producing good results.
What are some of the ways, for people listening in now, what are some of the things that they can do if they know of someone who may be at risk of falls in their homes to reduce, if there are any obstacles or things that are commonly found in the home that can cause falls, and even outdoors around the home or in the neighborhood, what can people do to reduce that risk?
Yes, that's a whole other huge area which I have not yet mentioned, and that is the environment. A lot of people reside in very cluttered apartments or houses, and it's something that accumulates over time and you don't really consider it, but it is an important factor in itself. I would counsel people, if they can, to try to minimize the clutter in their surroundings. Try not to have extension cords running across well-trafficked areas. Lighting is very important in well-trafficked areas. Try to avoid having just unnecessary pieces of furniture in areas where you're walking a lot. In your kitchen, for example, try to have items that you use regularly, readily at hand, so that you're not having to use stepladders, for example, and stools to get on top of to reach high up to retrieve those things. If you have steps going into and out of your home, try to ensure that you have a railing not just on one side but on both sides mm-hmm. of the steps. These are some of the things that we talk to people about. And I guess another environmental factor, which is not often spoken of, is footwear. And it's something that we address here at the Falls Clinic as well. We often find people coming to our clinic, you know, trundling about their house in slippers all day long, which is another risk factor, and we try to encourage them to acquire proper footwear. And it doesn't necessarily mean one kind of shoe over another, mm-hmm. but something that's going to provide you with support and a wider base of support, a wider sole. So we often talk about that with patients as well.
Now, for someone who may be living at home alone and they do fall, are there any devices available to them in the event they fall and are unable to reach their telephone? And I guess for some people, this is a very real concern, especially if they may have fallen previously. And as you mentioned, there's a quite a great fear of it happening again, and it usually does happen again.
Yes.
What is available to them right now that they can have either carry with them or just have very nearby that they can access to get help if they do fall and are unable to get up again?
Well, that's a very important point because, again, we know that up to half of the people who fall are unable to get up without assistance. And we actually have produced a small pamphlet here at the Falls Clinic to educate people about what to do if they fall. And it counsels them about self-assessment of injury in the immediate aftermath. And then if able, it suggests that you try to get onto your hands and knees to literally crawl to a solid object that you can hold on to help yourself get up by your stronger leg. And if possible, sit up onto a chair, for example, or a sofa, whatever, what have you, that may be nearby. That, however, is not always possible, as we know. So we have a service here, in fact, that whose headquarters are based at the Briere, called Helpline. And there is a cost associated with it on a monthly basis. But essentially, it provides older people living independently in the community with a way of seeking help easily after such an event. They wear a device around their wrist or around their necks, which essentially allows them to press a button, which in turn sets off an alarm system remotely here at the Briere. And we in turn can contact relatives and or friends who have been listed as potential contact people to call, who will then be able to provide assistance and, if need be, call for other services like paramedics, for example, to come to the site.
And my final question is, where can our listeners get more information about Falls and also about the Falls Clinic program at the Elizabeth Briere?
Well, you can certainly give us a call. We often take people by referral through their family physician, but that's not necessarily the only route available to them. We have taken self-referrals, so people who have come of their own volition. And I can give you our phone number, which is area code 613-562-4262, and it's extension 4010.
Well, Dr. Monahan, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about falls and what is available to people to help prevent that, and also that even if you do fall, there is, with appropriate treatment, a good means of getting back up on your feet and living a pretty normal life.
Yes, well, we like to think we're helping to improve the status of people who have suffered falls in the past.
Well, Dr. Monahan, all the best.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome.